Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now for this day off from school, we'll talk with three New York principals who have agreed to use it as kind of a busman's holiday and talk about the real world of running their schools. We are delighted to have with us Allison Hazoot, principal of the Earth School in East Village Elementary School, Sean Feeney, principal of the Wheatley School in East Williston in Nassau County, and president of the Nassau County High School Principals Association. Last year, he co-authored an open letter of concern about the new teacher evaluation system in the state. The letter has been signed, they say, by about a quarter of public school principals statewide. And Rashid Davis, the principal of PTEC, or the Pathways in Technology Early College High School in Brooklyn, that's the CUNY, IBM, and City Schools collaboration that President Obama mentioned in his State of the Union address.
Now at schools like PTEC in Brooklyn, a collaboration between New York Public Schools and City University of New York and IBM, students will graduate with a high school diploma and an associate's degree in computers or engineering. We need to give every American student opportunities like this.
President Obama at the State of the Union. Welcome, principals.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
First things first, Principal Davis, congratulations on getting a shout-out at the State of the Union address. How did that come about?
Thank you so very much. Well, actually, I think 2 years ago, in the LinkedIn town hall meeting, President Obama did mention PTEC then as the IBM school. And since then, we've had the opportunity to have some interactions. Ani Duncan visited the school in October and was very impressed.
The U.S. Education Secretary.
Yes.
So what do you believe that Secretary Duncan or the president recognized in you or in your school that made them single this out of all the schools in America?
I think they recognize that the high school diploma is no longer enough. And with the IBM partnership in New York City College of Technology, it's about going beyond the high school diploma to make sure there's a post-secondary credential, also with the skills ready to be first in line for any job.
Were you there, by the way, at the speech in the Capitol building?
No, I was at home.
It still must have been a thrill to see your school mentioned in the State of the Union.
It's still a thrill.
You are three principals from three very different schools. And I wonder if you could each just very briefly say roughly how many kids are in your school and how you would describe the basic socioeconomic makeup of your student body. Principal Hazoot?
Yes. Hello.
Hi.
So the Earth School is about 330 students. We have about 47% to 48% low-income families at our school.
And it's an elementary school, so
yeah.
It's those ages. Principal Feeney?
The Wheatley School is an 8 through 12 school. We have approximately 800 students. There's a level of diversity both ethnically as well as economically, although it is certainly it's got high resources, far more so than many other schools.
Pretty affluent part of Nassau County for
one
the most part,
say,
right?
Yes.
And Principal Davis?
So there are 227 students, with 76% of those students being male, 85% black, 10% Hispanic, and 85% of students on free and reduced lunch.
And how do you each see the job of being a principal? And Principal Hazoot, I'll start with you again, too. We had one of the mayoral candidates, Tom Allen, on last hour, and he was sympathizing with principals, and he said, too often these days, the job of a principal is to be a building manager rather than an instructional leader. And I wonder if you see it that way or how you see your main function or your main goal as principal of your schools. Principal Hazoot?
Yeah. I think, frankly, there's certainly an element of being a manager. There's lots of things that we have to deal with that are beyond sort of the instruction in the classrooms. But I think, in recent years, this is my fifth year, I feel like I've spent a lot more time in classrooms and have connected really closely, and intimately with the teaching and learning that's happening in the classrooms. And I've, worked hard to strike that balance. So I feel good about that. It is a tough time, though. There's, we're definitely working with less resources than ever before. But I have to say I have a wonderful staff, highly dedicated, hardworking folks that, go well beyond. So.
How do you measure your own success?
Say that again?
How do you measure your own success?
Well, I think it boils down to how much they're learning. you know, and how happy they are, whether they're thriving, if the teachers are feeling supported in their work, if they're given autonomy to do what we know, you know, is the best work they can be doing.
Principal Davis, same question.
So one of the benefits of the co-locations, the small schools in New York City, is that you are not the campus manager, so that you have a pool of people to really share those resources. And so I do get more opportunities to be an instructional leader.
Co-location meaning there are several schools under the same roof.
That's correct. So that's not just one building manager there. We are a campus management team.
So you do see instructional leader as your main job.
Absolutely.
And how do you implement it in a unique school like that that combines some early college with high school?
Well, we have even summer professional development where teachers and industry and myself, we're constantly meeting. We're meeting. Teachers have professional development daily and actually monthly that they interact with industry as well as college professors. So it's actually just making sure the time is structured for everyone to continue those conversations.
And Principal Feeney, same question.
Leadership takes many forms, and certainly the modeling one does as a leader, whether that's when you're walking around and cleaning up areas of the school, indicating, you know, safety concerns. All those issues are an important part of leadership. Clearly, as a principal, as a building principal, instructional leadership has to be foremost on one's mind, and the opportunity to go in, have conversations with teachers, and get a sense of what's happening in the classroom, what they are struggling with, what the students are struggling with, is an absolute essential part of leadership. So it's instructional leadership is important, but the role of a principal is all-encompassing, and it has to include some of those managerial aspects by its very nature. You're responsible, ultimately.
For this day off from school, we're talking with three New York principals from very different kinds of schools. Allison Hazoot, principal of the Earth School, an East Village elementary school. Sean Feeney, principal of the Wheatley School in East Williston in Nassau County. And Rashid Davis, the principal of PTEC, or the Pathways in Technology Early College High School in Brooklyn. And if any other principals want to call in and join the conversation, we open the lines for you at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And statewide and affecting all of you, I presume, is what they call the Common Core curriculum. Parents are figuring out what this means for their kids. Principal Feeney, does Common Core mean what it sounds like, a common core of knowledge or teaching methods that will be consistent across every school in New York State?
It's not so much about teaching methods or specific knowledge, but it is a type of, and it's an approach to instruction that in theory, and once again, this is still in theory, it's being developed and it hasn't been implemented, so we're sort of measuring its success as it's being implemented, will provide a better understanding to our students. I think that what folks have noticed over the last 10 years with this tremendous emphasis through No Child Left Behind on testing and this sort of rote learning, there has been a movement away from the notion of really textual understanding and reading comprehension, and kids have drifted away from that through necessity. Teachers have been focused on the tests. And there's been such an emphasis on these sort of tests that the Common Core in some ways seems to me a way to pull the drift away from that.
So that's a step away from the standardized test prep juggernaut?
The Common Core, I think, was implemented in reaction to what folks have seen as the result of 10 years of testing. Now, with the Common Core is a new juggernaut, if you will, of testing that is of concern. So you asked about the Common Core, and that's what we address. Now, there's a whole issue of testing that goes with that.
So, Principal Davis, is the Common Core changing, or will it change, instruction or test prep?
I think what it has done in New York City, we've seen more collaboration, more coming together of principals and teachers. And I think that when we can do that state to state, there can be some consistency, specifically for those families that have high mobility. So that way the consistency of learning and the conversations for best practices can be shared.
High mobility, in other words, for students generally in poorer populations who wind up moving a fair amount.
Absolutely.
If they wind up in, you know, March of fourth grade in some other neighborhood, they're going to wind up roughly in the curriculum where they left their other school?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And how about for elementary school principal Hazoud? Our other two guests, as you know, are high school principals. Does Common Core affect the elementary school level? Is that something you're preparing for, too, as a principal?
Oh, sure. I mean, we received the Common Core standards a couple of years ago in sort of a draft, but we've certainly been looking at them. And look, I would say that, you know, it's probably the best set of standards that I've seen. The complexity is that, you know, again, you know, the tests are going to be well aligned to them. So until they can create standardized test questions, I think that show really what a child's understandings are in relation to the Common Core, I think then, you know, we still need to be concerned. The Common Core, again, has done some really great things, I think, for instruction. I think there's a level of depth to these standards that we haven't seen in the past, and that's a good thing. But again, the close connection to the standardized testing is really what is somewhat troublesome.
Do you think, Principal Hazoud, that the that more students will be at risk of failing standardized tests under this more advanced Common Core? The state had admitted a few years ago that the tests had become too easy, so it would look like the pass rates were improving. If this makes learning more rich, does it also leave more students at risk of failing these high-stakes standardized tests?
Well, the tests are changing every year. You know, this year they're anticipated to be different. These are 90-minute exams. We're talking about third graders, eight-year-olds sitting for three straight days, 90 minutes a shot. You know, that in and of itself, whether the questions were, you know, fair or not is something else. But to sit that long, and I definitely think the test scores are going to go down.
You agree with that, Principal Davis?
Well, I think we will start a drop, and then we'll see some momentum going forward.
A big issue these days is teacher evaluations. Even today in the news, Governor Cuomo is threatening to impose, according to the New York Post, a teacher evaluation system on New York City because Mayor Bloomberg and the teachers union can't agree on one. As principals, do you know good teachers when you see them? Principal Feeney, you think you do?
Of course we do. And this notion that somehow before Governor Cuomo came along that we were not evaluating teachers on an annual basis is somewhat offensive to those of us who have been doing this for so many years. New York State has, I think, 18% of the schools in Newsweek's top 100 high schools are New York State schools. Somewhere, somehow, we're doing things right, and the sense that we need something imposed from the outside because we don't know how to evaluate teachers is problematic. Clearly, there are areas where we need to improve, and you know, I'll be the first to acknowledge that. Not all of us, not all of my colleagues, not all of the teachers are always on the same page, but this sense that we don't evaluate teachers is nonsense.
Well, Principal Hazoud, this new state system that Principal Feeney refers to, spearheaded by Governor Cuomo, includes some evaluation of teachers based on their student standardized tests and some based on your evaluation as principals, as you well know. How do you evaluate teachers? How do you do it as a principal?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I think, first of all, you know, teachers develop over time. You know, we don't walk into a classroom one day and, you know, give a teacher a suggestion and then, you know, expect that everything is going to change in, you know, in this radical way, just as students learn over time. And there's a trajectory for every teacher, just like there's a trajectory for every student. So, you know, I think it's about a conversation, it's about observations, it's about description and describing good practice, it's about letting teachers see each other's practices. I mean, teachers will all tell you, they learn from each other. That's where teachers develop. The best PD is when teachers can teach each other. So I think providing opportunities for teachers to see each other's practice and ask those questions is hugely critical. And having professional development on an ongoing basis. We have professional development at our school every week. And those conversations, looking at student learning together, looking at a set of student work together, and describing what we're seeing, what our next steps are, it's rigorous work, and it's challenging.
Anything you would add to that, Principal Davis, about how you do it?
Well, I think I echo all of the words that she just said. I think it's very important. It's about the relationship that I could have to give feedback to the teachers and them to be receptive, to take take that, and also my supporting them and giving them the professional development to help them be lifelong learners and really to better their craft.
What kinds of mix, Principal Davis, of observed lessons and student standardized test scores do you think is best for knowing how the teachers you manage are doing?
What kind of measure is the best?
Yeah, what kind of mix of measures? Because this is the big controversy now in the city, as well as the thing that the state already agreed to with, 20 to 40% is measured based on the standardized test scores at the local or state level, and the rest is observed behavior?
Well, I like to observe students teaching. So part of what I ask teachers are to make sure that they're spending time so that students can have the opportunity to lead lessons and also to teach their peers. And so whenever I walk into classrooms and I see that type of engagement where the students are really leading and actually teaching, then I can really measure that as some form of success.
And Principal Feeney, you're leading what, it may not be overstating it, to call a statewide revolt by many principals against the evaluation system and how dependent it is on student standardized test scores for evaluating teachers. Tell us about your open letter and who has signed it.
Well, it's an open letter. It's hosted on www.newyorkprinciples.org. It's been signed by over 34%, not a quarter, but over a third of the New York State principals. And really, from our point of view, the controversy is not about the mix, what percentage should be. I use test scores. Good principals use test scores. But this sense that somehow we need to take test scores and there's a formula that can then attribute all test scores to a specific teacher is not based on research. It simply is not. So within New York State's APPR legislation, it's including a measure that is not backed by research, and we're making high-stakes decisions based on something that research simply does not support. The effect of a teacher matters, but it is only, at most, 15% of the overall learning impact on a student. And when you're making high-stakes decisions based on bad information that's not supported by research, that should be of concern to all of us, and that's really the thrust of the letter.
Principal Hazoud, how much do you agree with that idea?
Well, I mean, I think the tests are there for, there's something you can glean from test scores. I think you can get a sort of a sense of a school. But again, we're talking about 6 days of instruction, not even instruction, 6 days of testing over the course of 180 days. And so to even equate a teacher's effectiveness with 6 days of testing, to me, is totally skewed. I mean, teaching and learning is complex, and whether a child's learning is something that requires multiple measures, both quantitative and qualitative. And I just, you know, until we see a standardized exam that is not flawed, that has clarity, that really does mirror the Common Core in a way where children can show knowing in a variety of ways. Look, they've talked a lot about performance-based assessments, and if we can sort of find a way to get that filtered in, maybe. But at this point, I don't think that we can be using tests to really evaluate the effectiveness of teachers.
And I think, Principal Hazoud, that one of the main reasons for this evaluation of teachers is so the bad ones can be weeded out. This at least is the conversation that we seem to be having in the media most of the time. But I wonder from your standpoint as a principal, is it harder to fire a bad teacher or is it harder to find a good one?
I think it's harder to find a good one. I feel like, you know, at our school, we have a really rigorous process for hiring. I mean, now we're in the hiring freeze, so it's a little bit more complicated. But, you know, most of the teachers at our school, I'd say all of the teachers that are at our school want to be at this school, and there's a lot involved in deciding whether you want to work at this school. There's a lot of time commitment. You have to create curriculum. There's meetings after school. There's all of these elements to being a teacher at our school. And so I find, actually, in the last 3 or 4 years, I'm getting less and less resumes from, you know, really people who have diverse backgrounds who want to come to this work as professionals. And I think that has a lot to do with how teachers have been scrutinized over the years. I think people are just saying, why do I want to get into the field? That's my worry.
And to follow up on that, what percentage of teachers in general, in your experience as a principal, I'm not talking about your current staff, but what percentage of teachers in general do you think should be removed from the teacher corps in the city for the maximum good of the children? How much of a problem is this?
I don't feel like I can answer that question, Brian. I really don't feel like I know enough about, you know, the large percentages of teachers out there. I think that most teachers out there are doing it because they love the work and they're constantly improving at their job. But, yeah, of course there are some that are, you know, that have been excess that probably need to, you know, get out and figure out what makes better sense for them, I'm sure. You know, we haven't at our school, I can't really assess that.
Principal Davis. Same question. For all that we in the media talk about firing bad teachers and how hard it is, what percentage of teachers out there, in your experience as a principal, do you think need to be removed, and which is the bigger problem, that or finding really good teachers?
Well, I think that we have, without doing a percentage, I think that we have great teachers already in the system. It's how do you support them in real time, and how do you give 100% of support to teachers when they need it? So sometimes you can give a professional development, but teachers need support every single day because they're dealing with a myriad of a situation, and so it's hard to just say that you can freeze things and expect progress to happen without that support that's ongoing.
Do you think the current focus on removing teachers and the controversy and the unpopularity among teachers of this new evaluation system based as it is on a percentage of standardized tests, does it make it harder to find good teachers to attract people into the profession?
I don't think it makes it harder. PTEC exists because we are a turnaround school from Paul Robeson that's phasing out, that's persistently low achieving. And so as a result of that, there is an evaluation system that comes in from the state as well as the Office of New Schools that really watches our progress. We have to outperform not only the district but also state averages. And so teachers, when they come to new schools, they understand what they're getting into in terms of because of that particular type of challenge.
Can you say at all how much of the failure of Paul Robeson was based on bad teachers who were entrenched?
No, I can't say that. I would just say that it's a complex situation. A school doesn't close just from one particular situation. A school can close for many reasons.
And Principal Feeney, same question, and we're going to run out of time, but maybe you could add, what are some of those things that aren't being done that need to be done to attract more good people into the teaching profession?
And I do think that needs to be the focus. I think this notion of what percentage of teachers out there are bad teachers is... It's a red herring. It's a meaningless question, quite frankly, and it's been framed as such by politicians. When Mayor Bloomberg stands up at MIT and says he knows how to improve the school system, fire 50% of the teachers and double class size, that's not based on any sort of research. And that's the nature, that's the sort of tone of the dialogue that's taking place among a lot of our politicians. Why does a school close? A school closes not because of teachers, but because an entire community has in many ways fallen apart. And it speaks to the fact that it's not just the teacher. There are so many food, poverty level, you know, what's the environment like? What sort of violence surrounds a community? There are so many other factors, you know, healthcare and everything that affect a student's learning. And what has happened is that teachers are now the ones responsible for all. So we got to fire the teachers and everything will be better. We need to support everything. We need to support the teachers, the schools, and the communities. That's how we're going to make a difference.
Well, I want to thank all three of you principals for coming on and talking to everybody today and opening up about what it's like to be a principal in 2013, and especially since this is a day off from school. You could have been at the gym. You could have been with your families. You could have been doing who knows what, but you chose to spend some of this time with us. So I really want to thank all of you. Allison Hazoud, principal of the Earth School, an East Village Elementary School. Rasheed Davis, principal of PTEC, the Pathways in Technology Early College High School in Brooklyn, which got mentioned at the State of the Union address, and Sean Feeney, the principal of the Wheatley School in Nassau County. Thank you all very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
And listeners, schoolbook.org is WNYC's place for the ongoing conversation about New York City public schools, whether it's the Common Core curriculum or teacher evaluations or education in the mayoral race or whatever. Follow it all at schoolbook.org. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, we will meet a new author who was a 40-something widow when she was thrown out of her support group for being too optimistic. We will take it from there. Stay with us.